So we're on Daf Hey Amid Beis, and we're looking at the two dots Omar Mar. I'm not sure if there's an easy way of identifying it.
First big line.
No.
Oh, that's the Omar Mar before that film.
10 up from the wide lines or so.
Yeah, about 10 lines up from the wide lines. The first word in the line is Ata. And then you'll see if you move towards your left, Omar Mar.
Got it.
You have it? Okay. Thanks, David. Now, whenever you see Omar Mar, what it means is that there's an earlier source. Very often it's a Mishnah or a Braisa, usually a Braisa. And there's one line in that Braisa which needs attention. And in the previous discussion, we didn't focus on that line, and now we want to focus on that line. So at this point, Omar Mar, he's going to first start by quoting... He's going to quote the Braisa. Okay, now, if we're quoting the Braisa, let's go back to the Braisa for just a minute, and I'll tell you why I'm doing this exercise. If you go earlier in the Braisa, which begins about five lines down from the top of the page, you'll see that it says, and this is about a line above Tosis Mishum, it says, Ein li ela benochri shaloki bashto v'ein sharui imcha b'chotzer. And then it says, Nochri sheki bashto v'sharui imo b'chotzer, imcha b'chotzer, minayim. And then it says, Talmud Lomar, Lo yimotze bibatechem. Now, presumably, Lo yimotze batechem. Yesterday, we discussed at great length the differences between Lo yimotze bibatechem and the pasuk Lo yiralecha, etc. B'chol gvulecha. And one of the differences that we mentioned was that Lo yimotze bibatechem omits the word lecha. Whereas in Lo Yiroa it says Lecha. So in a certain sense, by dropping the word Lecha, in the case of Lo Yimotze, what do we end up with? A Kula or a Chumra?
Chumra,
exactly. Because what we're saying is that even if it's not Lecha, you're still going to violate this Lav. Now, let's take the case of a Nochri and compare it to Kibashto and Shalo Kibashto. In which of those two cases would there be more of a reason to say that there is an Avera?
Kibashto.
In Kibashto, correct? Because if he's under your control and you dominate him, then you have some sort of connection to his chametz. So let's see what the Gemara is bothered by. Omar Mar, Ein li ela benochri shalo kibashto v'ein shorui imcha b'chotzer. Now, when you see the words Ein li, or Ein li ela in this case, right? So the impression you get is that in the previous discussion, where we spoke about Lo Yira Lecha, and Lecha was a Kula, because Lecha was excluding Chametz Shel Acherim, meaning if Chametz Shel Goy, the Goy dropped his Chametz on my dining room table, I'm not responsible for that Chametz. So if we're saying Ein Li Ela, what are we doing? Are we expanding a Chumra or expanding a Kula? Let me try to explain what I mean. when you see the words Ein li ela, it means, okay, you told me that I'm allowed to leave the chametz of a guy on my table. He dropped off his chametz on my table. I don't have a problem with the guy's chametz on my table. It's not mine. I have no connection with it. And that's a kula, correct? That even though the chametz is in my domain, it's in my four cubits, nevertheless, I don't have a problem with that chametz. I don't violate any avera. So that's a kula. And that kula was just derived in the previous line in the Braisa from the lecha in Lo Yirat. So when you say ainli, what you're trying to tell me is the following. I would only know without a pasuk, right? Because every Ainli Ella ends with the Talmud Lomer, but before we get to the Talmud Lomer, I would logically only derive this kula in the case of Shaloki Bashto, correct?
Yeah.
Because there I have no connection to his chametz, or Ein Shariyim Abachatz. But Minayin, how do I know that kula applies even to a case of Nochri Shekibashto? Wait a second. If you're going to tell me that kula applies even to a case of Nochri Shekibashto, then you should be quoting a pasuk that emphasizes or even expands the kula. Instead it says Talmud Lomer Lo Yimatze. Talmud Lomer Lo Yimatze, where the Torah drops the requirement of Lecho, would seem to be a Chumrah. How can you expand the Kula and quote a Pasuk which is Lechumrah? That's called in the Lashon of Shas Klape Laya. But Rashi says Klape Laya means to which direction are you going here? Meaning you want to take me in this direction and you seem to be ending up in the opposite direction. There's something very, very inappropriate here, or fluky, so to speak, about this brisa, because, you know, if the brisa wants to expand the kula and say that not only in the case of a nochri who's nothing to me, he means nothing to me, when he drops his chametz on my table, I don't have any relationship to them. But even if this nochri is related to me, and I have dominion over this nochri, even so I'm allowed to see his chametz in my rishus, correct? No, if that be the case, then quote a pasuk which would indicate that I don't violate Bal Yiro by Yimatze. Instead, you quote a pasuk Lo Yimatze. Lo Yimatze means any himatzus, you know, any chametz that's in your rishus, you should violate, even if it's not lecha. So that's called klapi laya. Omar Abaye Epuch. Abaye is so impressed by this question that he says you have to change the entire text of the Braisa. And now he's going to rewrite the Braisa. Now, I have in front of me a Masifta. You gentlemen don't have a Masifta, do you? What do you have? You have an art scroll? Usher, what do you have? That's not an art scroll. Also an art scroll? And Steve, what do you have, Steve? Just a regular Gemara. The old-fashioned... So I'm going to read to you what I have in the Masifta, and what I want you to do is compare it to what you have in the art scroll, because I'm hoping that the art scroll would have corrected what I consider a mistake in the Masifta. I don't know if it's a printing mistake, but I just can't read and make sense out of the Masifta. So let's see if I can convince myself and you that there's some sort of printing mistake here. Because on the word epoch, he writes Vigores Kach, meaning here's the text of the Braisa according to Abaye's epoch. And he writes the following: Ein li ela nochri shekibashto. Just one second. So now again, we're looking for, just one second, give me just a minute to clear my brain. So we're looking for now in Abaye's epoch is going to be a chumrah, right? That we want to derive a chumrah from Lo Yimatze. So then the chumrah is going to apply to the case Of what? Of Nochri, just a second. Nochri shaloki bashto vi ain shari imo b'chotzer. Ah. So in other words, according to Abaye, what we're going to say is, we're going to say that lo yimotze is a chumra, correct? Because the Torah drops the word lecha. And that chumra is going to apply to chomet shel goy. Now, again, I'm going to have to assume for the time being that if there's a chumra in chomet shel goy and I violate these averos, it's going to be because I have some element of achrayus, which means that it's not just that the goy is dropping his chometz on my table, but that pikdono shel nochri means I took responsibility that in event that the chometz is lost or destroyed, I have to pay for it. So let's see if we can make sense out of Abaye's epoch. That since it says lo yimotze, which implies that you can't have, under any circumstances, you can't have this chametz in your reshus, even though it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to a guy. So ainli ella, and I'm reading now the Masifta bin Nochri Shekibashto, that I would assume that under what circumstances is it also to be makabel pikdonos shel nochri? Correct, because let's go back to the Braisa. The Braisa said that lo yimotze was machadish two chidushim, two chumras. One chumra was even if it's bal yatmin, right? It's, we called it subterranean, so you can't see it. But the Torah says lo yimotze. And the second chumra was pikdono shel nochrim. Was pikdono shel nochrim. So let's read the Braisa again, one more time, going up to the top of the Amud. Shivas yomis yo lo yimotze v'dematam lo v'lekvar ner lo yiro lecha, etc. etc. Oh. Lefi shenemar lo yiro lecha siyor shel chayat harav al atarosh shel achir v'shel gavoa. You're allowed to see the chametz of your guy because the Torah says lo yiro lecha, and this doesn't belong to you. Yocho, I might think that yatmin, he could hide it because then it's not a violation of lo yiro, and for this I need lo yimotze. Or alternatively, via kabel pikdonos min anachri, I might think that if the guy puts his chametz and I accept responsibility for his chametz, that I would allow and circumvent the violation of this avera tamalom lo yimotze. So lo yimotze is telling me the chumra that even though the chametz technically belongs to whom?
The guy.
But nevertheless, since I accepted achrayus, therefore I am responsible for his chametz. Now, the epoch of Abaye is going to ask how far can we go with this chumra? Right? How far can we go with this chumra of pikdonos shel nochri derived from lo yimotze? Ainli elo, I would think only ben nochri shaloki bashto. Shaloki bashto. Just 1 second. Ainli el epoch, right? Oh, epoch. So we have to switch around the girsa. So instead of saying ainli el benochri shaloki bashto, which doesn't make sense, because if we're going with the chumra, then the ainli el should tell me the simple case of the chumra. That would be a nochri shekibashto, correct? Ainli ela, and what do we have in our text? Ainli ela benochri shaloki bashto. So we have to take out the word shaloki bashto. Now, what's the next phrase in the text of the Braisa before the epoch of Abaye? What do you have? See, we have to put this on silent. It's my fault. I'm not blaming you, but I should keep reminding me on a daily basis to put this on silent. Okay, here, I'll show you how to do it. So we'll do it once and for all. But Charney, I'm in Shia now.
can do it.
Okay.
The same.
I don't know if she heard it or whatever. Okay, now I'm really getting confused here. You see what you do is you scroll down with your fingers,
yeah,
and you get this picture, and you see what says sound? So if you just tap on sound, it becomes vibrate.
Okay.
Now I'm assuming that Yehuda can still see us. That's
sure
a, so again, so we have both sides. In the Ainli Elo, we're going to take the simple case where I violate Bal Yimotze because even though it's the Chametz, technically belongs to the Goy. What's the simple case? Kibashto or lo kibashto? I don't hear any response to this. I'm getting very, very nervous. Am I shaking? Again, the Chiddush of lo Yimotze, dropping the word lecha, means that even though the Chametz belongs to the Goy, I still violate lo Yimotze without the word lecha.
Right.
Now, in the case of Kibashto, do I have some connection to this guy?
Yes.
So if you want to tell me the minimum application of this Chumrah, that I can violate even though the Chametz belongs to the guy, which would be the lesser of two Chumras, Kibashto or Shalom Kibashto? Which would be more simple to understand that I am responsible
kibashto.
For this Chametz? Does everybody have that? Kibashto. So that's where Abaye switches the girsa. And instead of saying, Yochel, I might think, Nachri Shalom Kibashto, you have to read it the other way around. Yochel, I would think in a Nachri Shekibashto. How do I know that if I take responsibility for a Goy's Chometz, I'm Chayav for Bal Yiroah, for Bal Yimotze, even though it's Lo Kibashto? And that's going to be Tamid Loma Lo Yimotze. Now, let's do the same exercise with regard to Sharui Imcha Bechotzer, which would be the simpler case where the Chumrah of Chometz Shel Goy would apply. In the case of Shari Im Chabachatzer or Lo Shari Im Chabachatzer, which would be a simpler case.
Shari
Im Chabachatzer. So there's a mistake here in the Masifta. I'll read it to you. And I want to know if he corrects it over there. He says, Epoch according to Baikach. This is the Girsa. Ein li ela benochri shekibashto vi ein Shari Im Chabachatzer. You got to take out this word ein. I'm going to write a letter to the editor here. It's got to be the following. If I'm limiting the chiddush here, the chumrah of ownership of violation of Bal Yimotze, even though the ownership is that of the guy, then if I limit that chiddush, it's going to be a case of shari im chabachotze. He has ain shari im chabachotze. It's a mistake here. If you take a look at Rashi Bechlal doesn't even talk about Shari Imcha Bechatzer. He says, Epoch, you see it's the last word in the wide lines of Rashi. Ein li di asur, when do I have this chumra derived from Lo Yimotze? That's Ela Benachri Shekibashto. Davidumya Dishalcha. You see that? He doesn't mention anything about Shari Imcha Bechatzer. But I have no doubt that the correct Yirsa here, according to Abai's Epoch, should be Vishari Imcha Bechatzer. And then it should read the following. Nachri Shaloki Bashto V'ein Shari Imcha Bechatzer Minayin. How do I know that even if I have no connection with this guy, he's a foreigner? He's not under my dominion. He doesn't live in my chatzer. How do I know that that's also included in this Iser of Pigdonos Shal Nachri, Tamid Loma Lo Yimotze, which means Lo Yimotze Klal. Even in this case where he's a guy, Shalom Kibashto, and Eino Shari Imo Bechatzer, he's simply a guy, you know, maybe he's my next door neighbor or whoever he is, but he's not under my control. And he's not a Ger Toshav, and he's not living in my basement, you know, renting out my house or anything like that. He's nothing. So I don't know if you could take a look in. I don't know, does Artsko bother giving you what the Epoch is? Does he take apart the Epoch in any footnote or anything like that?
Or, he has a footnote.
Yeah, oh, he has a footnote? Either you read it, Phil, or give me your Gemara and I'll read it. Because I'm hoping.
Maybe
which one do you prefer?
You would rather read it so you can.
Okay. What number? Do you know
number
which?
17.
Okay, number 17. Let's just see what he says. The Braisa asks, how do we know only that Chometz of a Gentile who is affiliated with the Jew is prohibited? How do we know that it's forbidden to keep the Chometz of a totally unassociated Gentile in your home? Again, he doesn't go into the detail here, but I'm sure that the girsa according to Abaye on Pigdona Shel Nachri would be Ainli Ela Nachri Shekibasho Vishari Imo B'chotzer. And he has over here the Ain Shari Imo B'chotzer. It's a mistake. Okay. So all this is what? Is Abaye. What do you say?
You can write the letter. We'll support.
Yeah, okay, we'll get everyone signed on. Now the truth is that this Gemara that I have is ancient. I don't mean ancient, but Masifta, I think, started with Psachim when it first started. And there's a new edition of Masifta, and it might be corrected. Maybe by that, by you know the 10-year gap or whatever time period it was, they figured out this mistake. I don't know. So I don't have right now access to the you know to the more recent publication of the edition of Masifta on Psachim. All right. Now, Rava. Well, what moves Rava? Rava would like to maintain the Braisa as is. That's called Li'olam Lo Tepach. You don't have to change the text of the Braisa. But in order to make sense out of the Braisa, V'Areshakoi means that this last statement, which the Braisa says that we might differentiate between Nochri Shekibashto and Shalokibash, that's not referring to Pikdono Shal Nochri and the Chumra that we derive from Lo Yimotze, but rather it's going back to the Kula of Lo Yiro Lecha, where it does say the word Lecha. And if you remember, the Braisa says Lecha Iyatara Valatara Shalachem Shal Gavon, that the Braisa continues, Ein li ela benachri shelo kibashto v'ein shari imcha b'chotzer. Maybe this kula only applies when I have no relationship whatsoever to this guy, right? Neither A nor B, neither A that he's not under my dominion, nor B does he live in my basement. Is nachri shekibashto v'shari imcha b'chotzer minal. And again, we're talking about a case where he was not mekabel achrayus, as the Gemara is going to clarify later. So it's not pikdono shel nachri. And from the word lecha in the pasuk lo yirai, derive that I'm allowed permitted to have the chametz of the guy sitting on my table. How do I know that heter derived from the word lecha would be extended to the case of Kibashto, or alternatively, Shari Imo Bechotzer, Tamad Lama Lo Yimotze. So wait a minute, what does Lo Yimotze mean? Lo Yimotze, we said, is a Chumra. Why? Because Lo Yimotze drops the requirement of Lecha. So how does Lo Yimotze extend the Kula that I'm allowed to have the Chometz of the guy in my possession, even if it's a case of Nachri Shekibashto and Shari Imcha Bechotzer? Frekta Gemara v'haytano mihadra teira v'nosiv leikra li'isura. How could it be that this Tan is looking to expand the heter of lecha, meaning avolat harosh alacherim, and instead of expanding the heter, it quotes a pasuk lo yimotze? So the Gemara answers, mishum shenemar lecha lecha trei zimni. Now, as we explain this Gemara of Mishum Shenemar Lecha Lecha Trei Zimni, we have to ask ourselves whether Rav himself is finally going to have to admit that there's something incorrect about the Brice as we have it, because in our Brice it says Talmud Lomar Lo Yimotze. It doesn't say Lecha Lecha Trei Zimni. In fact, Rav will say, how many times does the Pasuk Lecha appear in Lo Yimotze? Zero, not once. So what does it mean lecha lecha trei zimni? So lecha lecha trei zimni, where the Torah repeats itself in the word lecha as another exclusion, which is another kula, that only appears in the pasuk of lo yirah lecha, because the pasuk reads lo yirah lecha chametz v'lo yirah lecha siyar. So the Torah twice in the same pasuk repeats the word lecha. So if you only had one lecha, you would have derived the case of a Nachri Shalo Kibashto, that I have no relationship with this Nachri, or Shalo Shari, Eino Shari Imecha B'chotzer. But now that the Torah adds another Lecha, that second Lecha is coming to exclude any violation in the case of Nachri Shekibashto V'Shari Imecha B'chotzer. So I don't know how Rava is going to explain the gears of the text that we have in the Braisa, because in the text that we have it says Talmud Lomar Lo Yimotze. Yeah, Lo Yimotze. It should have said Talmud Lomar Lo Yirolcha Trei Zimni or Lo Yirolcha Chavis Lo Yirolcha Sar. That's what it should have said. You follow Rav Moshe, what bothers me a little bit. You know, the whole motivation of Rava to disagree with Abaye is because Leolam Lo Tepuch. So I guess one of two things: either somehow Rava is pushing this Lachol Lachatrei Zimni into the Lo Yimatze, which I don't know how exactly he accomplishes that goal, or alternatively, when Rava said Leolam Lo Tepuch, he didn't mean Lo Tepuch in the sense of, you know, the Brisa is absolutely correct and reliable as it is, as the text reads. No, it's a Meshubeshta, meaning there's some mistake in the Brisa. But Lo Tepuch means you don't have to switch the Reisha of the Brisa, you just have to switch the last words in the Brisa, meaning the Drasha, and the Drasha is from L'chol L'cha Trei Zimni. So again, according to Rava, since the Torah repeats L'cha twice, it's coming to teach us in two different ways, so to speak, or two different scenarios, that I'm not in violation of Lo Yirolcha if the chametz belongs to a guy. And why does the Torah have to repeat that twice? The first time I'll take the lesser chiddush, where I don't have any connection to the guy. It's lo kibash, so lo shar, eino shar yimcha b'chotz. And now the Torah adds another lecha to expand that kula in the case of kibashto or shari imcha b'chotz. Now, Rashi seems to pull a fast one here. And I think what's motivating Rashi is that it says tamaloma lo yimotze. So the Braisa as is doesn't make any sense according to Rav, because the tamaloma is from two extra words in the pasuk of lo yirah. Lo yirah lecha, lo kol chametz, lo yirah lecha kol siar. So what does the Braisa mean when it says tamaloma lo yimotze? So Rashi applies a rule here. I don't know if you're familiar with this, called imeno inyan. Have you ever heard of it? Imeno inyan means sometimes in one context the Torah adds superfluous words. So what we do is like a lift and, you know, lift with a crane, and we put it lift and place down here. We take that extra superfluous word and we place it elsewhere.
A cut and paste.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do here according to Rashi. It says lo yimotze, it doesn't say lecha. But in the parasha of lo yiroeh, it says lecha twice. The extra lo lecha is totally superfluous. We don't know what justifies it. So we lift it up and we place it down as an addendum to lo yimotze, as if it said lo yimotze lecha. So Rashi holds that when Talmud Lomar Lo Yimotze means Talmud Lomar Lo Yimotze Lecha. Such a pasuk doesn't exist in the Torah. But by virtue of this principle, this mechanics called the Meino Inyan, since it says Lecha twice in the pasuk Lo Yirah, we steal one of those Lechas and we shove it into the pasuk of Lo Yimotze as if it said Lo Yimotze Lecha. So I suspect that what's motivating Rashi here is somehow to make sense out of the, you know, to assume that the Braisa has integrity, if I could use that word, as is, meaning as the text that we have it, and yet we're deriving this conclusion from an extra lecha, meaning that this extra lecha tells me that even if the Nochri is kibashto, and I have a connection to his comments, even if it's shari imcha b'chotze, nevertheless, if I didn't accept any achrayus, then I'm not chayv for bal yirah bal yimotze.
Are those limited? Like gezeirah shalos, as to which ones you can pick and...
You mean how do you know where to put it down, or how do you know when to pick it up?
Right.
Which question are you asking, Steve?
I guess both.
So in terms of how do you know when to pick it up, that's called yitura dekra, which means an extra pasuk. So whenever there's an extra pasuk, it's usually an extra word in a pasuk. That allows me to ask, what do I do with that extra pasuk? Now, the next step is to take a look if there's another parsha in the Torah which is very similar, and that pasuk is missing, or that word is missing. That allows me to place it down in you know, where it's missing. Now, in all cases, Steve, we're always going to have to ask the question, why did the Torah pull the shtick? You know, why did the Torah have to add an extra word here? And then we have to, you know, deduce that extra word here should be placed here.
Which, you know, totally changed the meaning of it.
and totally change the meaning, because again, lo yimatze would seem to mean lo yimatze klal, don't have any chametz in your rishus. It doesn't matter whether you own it or you don't own it. There's no lecha. And now what we're doing is we're taking the extra lecha from lo yiroah and we're shoving it down the throat of lo yimatze. I mean, it totally changes the pshat in the pasuk. But I think the Gemara is operating within the frame of reference of two different lavim, both, again, each one is complementing the other, but both are really there for the same purpose, meaning get rid of your chametz. And any details that we can derive about when and what are the conditions necessary to force you to get rid of your chametz, all those we're gonna move around between these two lavim, because these two lavim, as I said before, have the common denominator. They're both there to force you to get rid of your chametz. So if the Torah says lecha in one context, I can even take that lecha and put it in another pasuk of lo yimatze if is an extra superfluous lecha. And Tosus is not happy with this. So you take a look at Tosus, Divra Maskel Mishum Dechsiv Lecha Lecha Trei Zimni, Pirish HaKuntris, he quotes Rashi, Kaven Demiyater Lecha, since there's an extra word lecha in the Pasuk Lo Yiroeh, Shadye means we thrust it, Alo Yimotze, onto Lo Yimotze. So we take it from Lo Yiroeh, and the extra lecha is thrown onto Lo Yimotze. V'koshel Rajba. Tosa says that he's not happy with this Rashi, and he says to me, Tura de lecha gufe, afilu below Lo Yimotze, matzina lemute nochri shekibashto. Tosa says that this whole exercise of Rashi, in which he's taking the lecha of Lo Yiroeh, the extra lecha, the second lecha, and thrusting it and inserting it into Lo Yimotze, is totally unnecessary. Rashi could have completely circumvented the whole business here. Why? Because as long as it says Lo Yiroeh lecha twice, the extra Lo Yiroeh is telling me that the miut, which is a kula, right, that excludes chametz shel acherim, applies doubly. It applies not only to nachri shelo kibashto, but even to the case of nachri shekibashto. So why does Rashi feel compelled to get into this whole complicated business of emeno inyan and shadye and take a word here and put it into here? Just look at lo yirah. The Torah says lo yirah. And then the Torah adds the word lecha. And the Torah is clearly with lecha restricting and limiting this avera and saying that you only violate this avera when it's lecha. Then the Torah adds another lecha to tell you that that limitation applies even in nachri shekibashto. You would have thought that nachri shekibashto, since I have a relationship to his chametz, therefore I violate Rabbi Yimotzi. So one lecha is not sufficient. Now I have two lechas. But again, Rabbos, before we see Tosus's pshat in this sugya, I just want to point out that for the defense of Rashi, I think what Rashi is trying to accomplish here is the stira lechora. There seems to be a contradiction between the lo yiroeh and the lo yimotze. Meaning, okay, fine, you have a number of lechas in lo yiroeh, but what are you going to do with lo yimotze? Lo yimotze is yelling and screaming that the chametz, you're in violation of possession of the chametz, even though it's not lecha. So in order to smooth things out, what Rashi does is he takes the extra lecha from lo yiroeh and he places it into lo yimotze, as if it said lo yimotze lecha. So now you could ask the question, we already have lo yiroeh lecha, why do I need lo yimotze lecha? And the answer is to teach you even a nachri shekibashto. But Tosus wants to suggest another pshat, and he says, v'yomer ri, de'ilav mi lo yimotze, Milecha lo mimatina nachri shekibashto, dahu nami lecha chashiva. Tosus says that although you'd always have to ask yourself the question why the Torah added the second lecha, but the answer to that question would not be to exclude nachri shekibashto. The word lecha could never ever exclude nachri shekibashto in the pasuk of lo yiroeh. And why is that? Because dahu nami, if you want to highlight these four words, dahu nami lecha chashiva. This is the breakthrough of the Ri. The Ri is saying that if he's a nachri shekibashto, then it's considered lecha. Again, conceptually, probably, again, this is more for an Ian Shear, you know, at 11:45, what he means is that I have dominion over him to some extent the same way I have dominion over an Eved. Now, with regard to an Eved, we're talking about an Eved Kanani now, right? So the law is Mashakona Eved Kona Rabo, that the Adon, the master, has ownership rights over the Eved's possessions. So for example, if a bird flies down from heavens and the Eved goes in and grabs that bird, which is called Zechiyah min HaHefker, he takes it from an ownerless situation, then Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo, it automatically reverts. So there is an ownership relationship between an Eved and his possessions and the Adon who owns the Eved, and Tosfos, the Ri, is somehow extending that to the case of Nochri Shekibashto, which means that when we take over, you know, the land. Now, Rabbi say it's very complicated here, because when we take over the land, we have to destroy the seven Amim. So how is it possible to have an Eved who belongs to one of those seven nations? We'll start with Canaan, and then you have the Yavusi, and the Chivi, and the Chiti, and so forth and so on. My whole analogy of Kibashto to Eved is totally out of place. And the answer to that has to do with a parasha called Ger Toshav, which means that there could be a possibility, even though the Torah says Lo Sechai Kol Neshama, that when Yoshua comes into the land, he's got to get rid of everybody. But it could be possibly that if there's a guy, again, a lot of technical, how to orchestrate this, you know, how to engineer this, but if there's a guy who's willing to accept upon himself seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, this does not apply to an Amaleki, by the way, but we're not talking about Amalek here, we're talking about the seven nations that occupy the land. Then if he accepts upon himself what's called Gerus, but it's a very limited Gerus, but it's enough to carry him over the threshold, that we don't have to kill him, and that's called a Ger Toshav, which basically means he commits himself in front of a Bezin Shal Yisrael to observe the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, then perhaps we're allowed to give him domicile in the land of Israel. And he could remain here. I mean, Meir Kahane had a lot of trouble with this because he didn't think that the Palestinians had a din of a Ger Toshav. And from that perspective, he's 100% right. On the other hand, I don't know if the Palestinians have a din of Zion Mitzvahs B'nei Zion Amin. They may have a din of Amalek if they decide that they want to destroy the Jewish people. So in my mind, Hamas, you know, is definitely Amalek and we should be destroying them. But there are Palestinians who want to live with us in peace. You won't meet them on the streets because they're all underground, but you know what I mean? Because if a Palestinian says openly that he wants to live in the land of Israel under the control of the Jewish state, you know, he probably won't live more than Toch Kedei Achilas Pras, you know. But in any event, that's the politics that we live in today. So it could be that what Tosfos is saying is that you could have an entity called Nochrik Shekibashto in Eretz Yisrael, even at the time of Yoshua ben Nun, if the Nochri would accept upon himself Zion Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. All this is very, very, how do you say in Hebrew, B'ei Ravon Mugbal? In English, I think it's limited liability. Yeah. So don't hold me responsible for anything that I said, and certainly nothing that I said about the Amalekim today, because I'll deny I said it, except for this little machine over here. Okay, yeah. Jeff Secund always helps me with that. He knows how to erase things that I said. Anyway. But be that as it may,
you create technically the gaps.
Yeah, right. If you find a gap, you know that it was some sort of political comment that I told you. Not that I'm trying to influence you. I just want to make sure you're all on the right, you know, have your head screwed on right. But I'm not trying to influence you. It would just make sure you're on the right, you know, that I have your head is screwed on right, if you find me. Tarte mashma. But in any event, so we have here a case of Nochri Shekibashto, and Tosfos says that Nochri Shekibashto, his chametz is your chametz, and the Pasuk L'cha would therefore not exclude Nochri Shekibashto. So you have a Nochri Shekibashto. Let's dramatize it. This Nochri Shekibashto lives in your basement. And he works for you, and so forth and so on. He looks at you, he looks up to you as if you're his master. And therefore, says Tosfos, you have some sort of an ownership rights over his chametz. Again, all this has to be analyzed. Exactly what's the nature of your ownership rights? He's not really an Eved, but he's like an Eved, whatever that means. It's therefore, says Tosfos, Hava Mina, the Osi L'drosh Achrina. If we only had the lecha, the extra lecha in the parsha of Lo Yiroe, I would not use the second lecha for Nochri Shekibashto, because Nochri Shekibashto is lecha, it is your chametz. The Jew owns the chametz vicariously through the ownership of the Nochri Shekibashto. So lecha would not exclude it. Aval hashta now dishadinon aloi matze. And maybe at this point the Ri is sort of explaining, you know, the Zayda, he's explaining Rashi, and he's saying the following: mashma use mematina nachrish akibashta loi matzi lecha mashma afilu matzi beina lecha. Meaning that even though it's matzui, meaning since he's kibashto, you have almost shlita, you have almost access to his chametz, it's very much accessible to you, it's very much available to you. Nevertheless, the Torah added the word lecha to tell you that scenario where you have absolute access to his chametz because he's kibashto, maybe he's also living in your basement, nevertheless the Torah adds the word lecha. So at the end of the day, the Ri really swings back to Rashi, that we're going to take the word lecha out of its context in Lo Yirah, and we're going to replace it in the parasha of Lo Yimotze. But not for the same reason as Rashi. Rashi says the reason we're going to do that is because of this kind of principle of him eino inyan. You know, if you have two psukim, and one of them has an extra pasuk, and one is lacking any pasuk, it's missing it, so we're going to move the pasuk around. And we're going to lift it and put it down. The Ri is saying, no. The reason why we have to do this is because of a special problem that we have over here, meaning that the second lecha would not exclude kibashto, because kibashto is considered as if you own the chametz. That's the breakthrough of the Ri. Before the Ri, and Rashi's frame of reference, there's no such thing as an equation between the chametz of a nachri in the case of kibashto and your ownership over the chametz. Let's go right in the Gemara. Omar Mar Yochol Yatmin. So this is, Phil, where you thought we were starting, yes, today, right? So first of the wide ones. You have it?
Yes.
Omar Mar Yochol Yatmin V'Yikabel Pikdonus Min HaNochri Talmud Lomer Lo Yimotze. There's a limit to how far you can go and say, well, the chametz is owned by a guy, and therefore I don't violate by Yerobah Yimotze. That's only in a case where I was not Makabel, okay, I emphasize the word Makabel. I accepted. What does it mean I accepted? I accepted a deposit from Nochri. In fact, the Gemara, Amrit Reisha, you just finished telling me, that I'm allowed to see the chametz of a guy on my dining room table because it's not lecha. And now you're telling me that I'm not allowed to take a pikadon from a nochri. So what's the difference between chametz shel acherim, which means chametz owned by a guy, and pikadon? Pikadon, you're telling me, is excluded, meaning it's forbidden. Lo kasha hada kibul alechrais hada lo kibul alechrais. When do we say that the chametz belongs to the guy and it's not a problem for me? That's because lo kibul alechrais, the Jew did not accept upon himself any responsibility for the chametz. But when do we say no, that kia, that pikdono shel nachri is a problem? That's a case of kibul echrais, where the Jew accepted upon himself responsibility for the chametz of a guy. And now the Gemara tells a story. Kiha, this story is meant to illustrate this concept of kibul echrais. He accepted upon himself responsibility. And Rabosa, I'm going to ask you to slow me down if I'm going too fast, because again, I'm using a lot of Hebrew words here. So make sure you're on board, and if not, don't be embarrassed to raise your hand. Ki hadi amar Rava l'bnei Mechuzah. Rava came from a city called Mechuzah, and Rava instructed his fellow, what word can I use? City mates. What was the word for a fellow?
Lansman.
Lansman. Yeah, but Lansman could mean, you know, we came from the same area. You know, we all came from Poland. But how would you say we came from the same city?
Neighbor.
City what?
Zens.
I can't hear the last word. Zens?
Yeah.
Is what language is that? Zens. Z-E-N-D-S?
Citizens.
Zens, okay, citizens, okay. You know, my wife always makes fun of me because I make up words in English. You know, of course, I used to actually know a little English, but
citizen.
But city citizen, right? Citizens, okay, citizen, right? Citizens, right? So, what did Rav instruct his fellow citizens? He said to them, "Be'iru chamira debnei chela mibasaychu." So basaichu means your homes, right? A bias. In this case, the Aramaic is almost identical to the Hebrew. Chamira is the Aramaic word for chametz. Now, why do we all know that the word chamira means chametz? Right, bittul, because we all recite bittul, and when you recite bittul, hopefully you understand the words that you're saying. If not, it's meaningless, and you're in deep trouble. So you better say bittul in English, or whatever language you prefer. You know, como esta, if you like Spanish, say it in Spanish, I don't care what, but chamira is the word for chametz in Aramaic. Be'iru means to destroy. Havara means to destroy. So he instructs them to destroy the chametz of, and here's the key phrase, B'nei Chela. Now the word Chela means soldiers. B'nei Chela are soldiers. Right? B'nei Chayal, Chayalim. It's interesting how the Aramaic is so similar to the Hebrew. Now, what is going on here? You know, we have a lone soldiers program. You know, here we're destroying the chametz of the soldiers. The answer is, number one, these soldiers are non-Jewish soldiers. And number two, they bring their chametz into town and they ask the Jews to take care of their chametz. It's kind of like, have you ever heard in I don't know if it's a Yiddish word, it's probably a Polish word, kest? Kest means, in the old days, when you were yeshiva bacha, and you were learning outside, you know, far away from home, so kest means that you were adopted by some family that would support you. Sometimes it was a few different families. I have a great story about this. You'll ask me after shiur if you want to hear a very funny story. But in any event, they used to have something called kest. So the same thing applied to the Bnei Chela. The government required that the local people would support the troops while they were far away from home. The local people would have to make chametz for them, you know, make bread for them, and so forth and so on. So now, this bread technically belongs to the B'nai Chela, because the Jewish people would prepare it for the B'nai Chela. You'll see that Rashi says, Umatilin, this is about two lines up from the bottom of the page, in the middle of the line, Matilin tikun torach mizonosehem al ha'ayoros, meaning the citizens who are responsible for preparing the food for the local soldiers. And some of that food was chametz. And Rava says, if you're holding on to that chametz on behalf of the B'nai Chela, and you think, well, it belongs to them, and therefore you don't have to get rid of it. Nein, you got to get rid of it. Why? The cave unto Ilu Mignav, the Ilu Misvid. Since the law is that, the law of the land is that if this provision, you know, whatever the provisions are, gets stolen or it gets lost, and it might be chametz, right? Concluded in the provisions are chametz, is Birshu Sayu Koi. It's considered yours. What does it mean it's considered yours? It got lost. It got stolen. So what does it mean it's considered yours? You'll have to replace it. Do you follow me? You'll have to replace it. Now, if you have to replace it, that's going to cost you money. So therefore, you're losing money here if it's lost. Anything that belongs to a guy, but if it's lost, you, the Jew, will have to pay from pocket, which is called in one single word achrayus, says Rava kidilchun dami. It's as if it's yours. Lechun dilchun means de, it's considered. Lechun means shalachem. And therefore, says Rava v'yasur, meaning you violate the prohibitions of Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzi, for owning this chametz. Again, Rava said, do you own the chametz? No. Are you responsible for the chametz?
Yes.
Yes. If the chametz is lost, do you have to pay out of pocket? Yes. Yes. That's considered yours. And the Gemara says that for that scenario that Rava describes, we needed the extra pasuk of lo yimotze. Lo yimotze, which drops what? Lecha. To drop the lecha is telling you that even though this chametz is not yours, but nevertheless, it's lo yimotze, you violate this law. And then again, from Siyara Siyara, as we discussed at great length yesterday, we're going to derive that lo yirah applies as well. Okay.
So you have a bailiff situation.
Is that called a bailiff in fancy English?
Yeah, because...
Well, tell me what a bailiff is. I forget.
A bailiff is someone who's responsible for safekeeping of something.
Okay, great. Now, when you say responsible, there are so many different possibilities in halach I'm talking. I'm not talking about the laws of bailiffs. I don't know, because I'm not a lawyer, although I was thinking of studying law, but at the end I just took constitutional law, so I didn't go as far as going to law school. But in the Jewish law, there's something called a Shomer Chinam, and there's something called a Shomer Sachar, there's something called a Socher. There are various levels of achrayos. And this is going to be a major controversy in the Rishonim here. The Rosh has a machlokas here between the Rosh and Rabbi Yon, exactly what level of responsibility makes a kiddul achun, as if it's yours. Let's assume, which is pashtus, the simple way of learning this Gemara, that you're chai for gneiv of aveda. Does anybody know which shomer is chai for gneiv of aveda? Shomer sachar means if you're paid as a bailiff, you're a paid bailiff. Now here, it doesn't seem that you're being paid for your services, but nevertheless, the governmental imposition, they impose upon you this law that you, whether you like it or not, you have this responsibility to pay in the case of stealing, if it's stolen or it's lost. So the government, what's called Dina de Malchus, if you've ever heard that phrase, you know, the law of the land, imposes upon you and upgrades your level of achrayus, of responsibility, to that of a shomer sachar, even if you're not getting paid a red cent for it. And now at this point in the Gemara, we have a new concept. And this is called, you'll have to write this down, but you copy it from the Gemara. I don't have to write it on the blackboard, but please write it down in your notebooks. It's called Davar HaGorem LeMamon. Okay, we'll start with those three words. Okay, that's your heading. And then it subdivides into two opinions. What is the status of Dovra Gorim Lemamon? So first you want to write down Dovra Gorim Lemamon. And there's one man, the other, who says Kim Mamon Dummy. And in parentheses, you might want to write Rabbi Shimon, because that's the famous sheet of Rabbi Shimon. And on the other side of this scorecard, you're going to write Lav Kimamon Tomei. Right, that's the sheet of the Chachamim against Rabbi Shimon. So, what is Dovra Gorim Lamamon? So, the Masifteh did a beautiful job, Mamish poetry. I was so impressed. What's Dovra Gorim Lamamon Kimamon Tomei? Chefetz Shebi Atzmo Eino Shava Klum Li Adam. This object, although it may be valuable, something on the market, but for you it's worthless because you don't own it, so you can't sell it. Ella, shumarviach bikiyumo. He gains financially because of the existence, the continued existence of the object. So again, if I ask you, Rabbi, can you sell it? What's it worth it to you? You can't sell it. But on the other hand, as long as it continues to exist, then your monetary situation is status quo. But what happens if it's lost? Now your status quo is gone because you're going to have to pay to replace it. So if you hold kimamon dummy, that was one of the two possibilities. Harehu nechshav kimamon shel adam. The very fact that this object represents mamon for you, meaning in its loss, you're going to have to replace it. For those who learned Megillah, Masechta Megillah, you'll call this Nedava, right? No, I'm sorry. Call it a Neder. Right, a Neder, not a Nedava. Sorry. If you say Arei Olai, then if you designate an animal, that animal's worth something for you, because if that animal is lost, you're going to have to replace it. Is therefore, if you hold Kimamon Domi, is Hu Atzmo Nechshav Mamonu Shalodom. It's considered yours. And therefore, if you have chametz, which is technically not yours, you can't sell it because it's not yours to sell, but you have achrayus, which means that you need the continued existence of the chametz. If the chametz gets destroyed and ceases to exist, you're going to have to pay out of pocket. That's called kimamon dami. So now let's go through the Gemara. Ha, Nicha, this whole thing makes sense. When you say that if I took achrayus for someone's chametz and this someone is a guy, I violate Bali Motze, because that makes sense, because it's mine. Why is it mine? It doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the guy. But because Dovra Gorim Lamamon Kim Mamon Domi, anything that in its absence, in its non-existent state, I have to pay out of pocket, my financial status goes down, then it's considered as if I own the object, because that object in a more abstract sense, conceptually, is valuable to me. It's worth something to me. It's worth, actually, its market value. Because if the chametz is worth 10, and now it goes down the tubes, and it's lost, I have to pay that 10 out of pocket. But if we don't accept the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, we hold the sheet of the Chacham Rabbi Shimon. That since I don't own it now, and I have no benefit from it now, I can't sell it now and convert it into cash, therefore it's not Kimamon Dami, Ma'ikal Amemar. So why would I violate Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze in a case like Rava's case with the Bnei Chela for responsibility over Yenim's Chametz? It belongs to John Paul Jones. Why should I be considered an owner of that Chametz? We're holding out Dovra Goyim Lomomen, Lav Kimamon Dami, it's not considered my ownership. Shiny Hacha, here it's different, the Omar, because the Pasuk says Lo Yimotze. And Lo Yimotze, dropping the word Lacha, is expanding your definition of ownership as far as Chametz is concerned. And Rabosai, this Gemara would be a beautiful support for the Ramban. If you remember the Ramban that we learned in increments over the course of a few days, the Ramban says that technically Chametz never belongs to me. It's just the Torah puts it in my Rishus like a bar Rishus Rab and makes it a fictitious ownership because you want it to exist. And Bittel says, no, I make a declaration, let it be like Afra Diara. Well, look, in this case, you don't want your Chametz to be like Afra Diara. That's going to cost you. Because if the Chametz of the Bnei Chela gets lost, you're going to have to pay for it. And that makes it into a Rotze B'Kiyuma. And this is included in the definition of ownership as far as Chametz. And I derive that conclusion from the absence of the word Lecha in the Pasuk Lo Yimotze. Ikar D'Amri, we have another text, another version. Ha Nicha. This Brisa makes a lot of sense. Meaning if I hold like the Chachamim that it's not considered mine, I don't own it. And here we want to turn to that Vav Amin Aleph. Now I need the special ribuy, the inclusion of Lo Yimotze, because of the omission of the word Lecha, to tell you that there's a brand new halach of ownership that does not reflect universal laws of ownership. I don't own it, it belongs to the guy, but I'm considered the owner as far as Chametz is concerned, when the Torah says Lo Yimotze, because of the fact that I'm responsible in event of loss or theft to replace it. If I hold like Rav Shimon, who holds that universally, anything that I need the continued existence of the object, because otherwise I'll have to replace it, is considered my mammon, as if I own the object. Is Lo Yimotze Lomali? Why did the Brice have to stand on its head and do somersaults in the air to derive from Lo Yimotze this chidush, which is not a chidush at all? This new idea that I violate Chametz Bal Yirah because I accepted responsibility over the Chametz. That's obvious. Why? Because that's just an application of the normal universal principles of ownership, which if you hold Kimam and Dummy include any case when something is not technically mine, but if it's lost, I have to replace it. So Gemara answers, it's true. I still need the Pasuk Lo Yimotze. Salke Dait Chamino, I would have thought. Hoil, since V'chi Isa, if the Chametz is alive and well, in other words, it hasn't been destroyed, is Hadar B'Ene. I just come in front of the guy and I say, take your chametz and go home. It's there for lab rishusei kai. I mean, it's not really mine. As long as the chametz is alive and well, it's not mine. When do we hold davar goyim l'mamon kimamon and tell me that it's mine? That's only when it gets lost, when it gets destroyed. And now I suffer a financial loss, then the object is mine. But if the object is still alive and well, and I can just say to the guy, here, come and take it, then it's not my object, it belongs to the guy. So in the case of Chametz, and we're discussing a case of Chametz which is alive and well, otherwise there's no issue about Bal Yirah Bal Yimotze. So I have a piece of chiffon bakery on my table, and it belongs to the guy. Then even if I hold Dovra Goyim L'mamon K'mamon Dami, i.e. I took a Chrayus, and in event that this Chametz goes down the tubes, I have to replace it, but now the Chametz is alive and well, as long as it's alive and well, I just have to tell the guy, come and take your chametz, it's not mine. Kamash Malon, for this I need a new breakthrough, that as far as Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze is concerned, the Torah says that it's considered Goyim L'mamon K'mamon Dami, it's as if you own the chametz even before it gets lost, because since potentially it might get lost and therefore you'd have to replace it, so even when it's still in existence, it's already considered yours as far as chametz is concerned.
What if the guy doesn't take it? That's his problem.
And I still have it in my possession.
Well, now the question becomes the following. Did you have intention of acquiring it? Maybe the chametz, if the guy says, I don't want my chametz, maybe it becomes hefker. And now what's your situation? So, for example, a guy comes into my rishus, he puts down a piece of bread, and then he calls me up, he says, you know what, Reb Yid, take the chametz for yourself. So then the ball's in your court. You have to make a decision. Do you want to take the chametz for yourself? You'll violate by your Rabbi Yamatz. You'd be well advised by all your attorneys not to acquire ownership, not to want to take the chametz into your possession. But what the Gemara basically saying, and this is the bottom line, and with this I want to leave you, is that we have here a new definition of ownership with regard to chametz. This is not classical ownership. And it divides up into two ways. Number one, if I hold like the Chachamim, that Dovra Gorilum and Lav Kimam and Dami, that Achrayus doesn't make it into mine, then here we're going to say it's yours as far as Chametz is concerned, and all this is based on the Drasha, the Yalfus of Lo Yimotze. So we have a new definition, a breakthrough definition of ownership vis-a-vis Chametz, and that's going to apply even to a Dovra Gorilum and even if I hold Lav Kimam and Dami, it's not mine because I don't own it, I can't sell it. No, it is yours. When is it yours? If it's Chametz for Pesach. So universally it's not yours, but here it is yours. And now we have another possibility that even if I hold Dovra Agorim Lamamon Kimamon Dami, that's here on top of Daf Vav, I still have to introduce a new principle of ownership with regard to chametz and only chametz, that it's considered my moment even before it gets lost, even before it gets destroyed. So I'm also saying, where are we up to? For tomorrow, Mirza Shem, we're up to Boy Mi Nei Mi Rava. If everyone could make a little bit of a note, because I sometimes forget where we're up to. I'm going to try to make a note here. So we're on the third line on Daf Vavam and Aleph, Bo Mi Nei Mi Rava. And this is the sugya called Behemas Arnona. And that's the sugya Mirza Shem that we want to cover tomorrow. Okay then?
Same time.
I don't see any changes. I have a shiur tomorrow in the afternoon. That's going to be canceled because of
the
I say, let me repeat myself, because I don't think you heard me. The only change as a result of the tainus is a shiur in the afternoon. So if you want to tune in to my shiur in the afternoon tomorrow, which I give to the kollel every Tuesday afternoon, you're going to be wasting your time because I will not be giving my shiur tomorrow afternoon. Other than that, there are no changes.
Okay, good.
Okay, you got the message.